Well, good morning. These are indeed strange days, aren't they? It's certainly very unsettling not to be meeting together on a Sunday morning. Before I recorded this, I just took time to think about you and to scan round in my mind's eye the 9:30 around the gallery and to think of the folk who are there, 9:30 downstairs to think of you all down there. 11:15 as well in that gallery, then downstairs. As I speak, all I can see is my computer screen, but you are all very much in my mind's eye as we look at God's word together. And I do hope that what we have put together this morning will be of help to you. I hope already that you will have enjoyed Dan's all-age slot, and I hope you've enjoyed the songs as well. And we're going to spend time now in God's Word. So let me read to you Colossians 1, 9 to 14. Very familiar words, of course. Colossians 1, 9 to 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we thank you for your words. And as we gather in our homes, or maybe with family, maybe with a friend or two, maybe alone, would you please meet with us in your word and strengthen us in Christ by the Holy Spirit? And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are any number of sermons that could be preached on coronavirus Sunday number one. We could look again at the reasons why we need not fear and why we can trust a sovereign God. And that would be a very worthwhile thing to do. Another line of inquiry would be to look at what the Bible has to say about plagues. And we may well try and do that at some stage. It's actually is very uncomfortable when we see what the scriptures actually have to say. We could, of course, reflect as well on the way that the crisis has reminded us that everything here is very unstable and uncertain, and that we belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That would be a wonderful thing to explore. We could look at the way that treasures here perish, but treasure in heaven lasts. And I hope in the weeks ahead that we will reflect on those themes. But for this first Sunday, I'd simply like to spend time encouraging us all to pray and to encourage us to be praying for each other in line with God's words. Dan talked about prayer, and now the main sermon is going to be about prayer. Why begin with prayer? Well, praying, of course, is the only sensible thing to do. We've got much that we need to do ourselves, but as we go about our life in the next few months, it makes sense, doesn't it, to actually speak to the person who is in charge, to speak to the one who has power, to speak to the one who has actually invited us to pray to him. And he is a God who loves to hear prayer and very often answers prayer. Of course, God is not mentioned in any of the daily briefings. The church gets a few column inches in the papers, but not God himself. God is out of the picture. But the true and living God is the true and living God. He has not been locked down. He is open for business. And so it is right to pray to him. But that raises the question, what are we going to ask him for? Now, there are many things that rightly will be on our agenda as we pray. We're going to pray for our leaders that they might be wise and govern as well. That's absolutely right, and I hope you're praying that. We're going to ask for God to have mercy on us and lift the plague. We're going to ask for protection for us and for our loved ones, for our church. Do please pray those things. But I'd like to look at Colossians 1, 9 to 14 with you again and allow these familiar verses to shape how we pray for each other in the coronavirus season. If we're going to thrive and to survive and thrive spiritually, we need to pray for each other. It's worth pausing. Do you believe that? If we are to survive and thrive spiritually, we need to pray for each other. Prayer is essential. Prayer needs to be a priority. We will need more than our own resources in the months ahead. We will need God's help if we are to survive and thrive as believers. And what I'd like to do is look at these verses again and draw out four things for us to pray. And maybe at the end of this season, we'll be able to come together and say, yes, he answered our prayers. I've deliberately gone for a very familiar passage. It's one I think I preached on about a month ago, because I realized that many of you got lots of things on your mind, so I wanted to bring something familiar before you. But I also wanted to show you that that passage that we're looking at a month ago and we're trying to take into our own prayer lives really helps us shape our praying for each other in this particular crisis. So four prayer requests to pray for each other in the coronavirus season. First prayer request is to ask God that he might help us to live wisely and in a manner worthy of Jesus during this coronavirus season. Live in a wise way, to pray that we live in a wise way and live in a manner worthy of the Lord's. You see, for many of us, life has changed. I know that it hasn't for some, that your life is able to go on as normal. But many folk are now working from home. Some will have more time on their hands. Many of us will be practicing some sort of social distancing. Some will be self-isolating. All the kids are off school. Family life feels different. Our neighborhoods feel different. Routines have changed. And there are lots of questions. How do I care for my parents? How do I care for my children? How do we think about risk? How do we face redundancy? How am I to respond to my cancelled holiday? How do I speak to my neighbour about the way I'm feeling? How do we speak about Jesus? How do we think about money? Well, Paul here prays in these verses that we might go on being filled, and we need to go on being filled. We need to be filled for this season with a knowledge of his will. That's a knowledge of knowing how we are to live for him. And how do we get this knowledge? Well, the verse tells us, through wisdom and understanding that comes from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives us wisdom, teaches us through his word how we are to live for God, what sort of things please God, the way he wants us, what is the way he wants us to live, that we might be fully pleasing to Jesus, that we might live a life worthy of Jesus. You see, the prayer is, Father, please teach us in this new season how to live wisely and in a manner worthy of Jesus. Pray for each other so that we would know how to respond, to speak, to help, to work, to rest in this new season. What might it look like at the end of this period to have that prayer answered? Well, I think we will in a whole variety of ways. Look back and say, the Lord helped me. I knew that this was the right thing to do. We together as a family recognize that we need to do this and to do that. That I was enabled by the Lord to speak to my neighbor in a way that was helpful to them. That we were able to think straight about money. We were able to think in a way that was pleasing to the Lord as we trusted him during this season. Let's pray that in 4, 5, 6, 7 months, whenever, or a year, whenever this thing lifts, that we'll be able to say to each other, we prayed for each other, that we would be able to live wisely and in a manner worthy of the Lord's, and recognize that he has helped us in that. So let's pray that for each other. Would you also please pray for us as a leadership? We're very much feeling our way in what it means to teach and care for a church that is not gathering and cannot gather in any group. Please pray for us that we would be wise and know what the Lord's will, his ways are through this period. The second prayer. Ask God that we might bear fruit in the coronavirus season. In verse 10, Paul's prays that we might live a life worthy of the Lord. And then he gives a number of features of the worthy life. First up, of course, is bearing fruit in every good work. Paul prays that believers might bear fruit. What sort of fruits, what sort of works are these? Well, as we go into this season, I'd like to suggest two areas. First area is caring for the needy. If you go across to 1 Timothy 5:10, you needn't turn there, but if you go across to 1 Timothy 5:10, you will see that Paul speaks there of the widow who is to be helped. And he says of her, she is well known for her good deeds or her good works, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good works. Notice, good works includes there helping those in trouble. You see, pray that God would give us the resources, the energy, the courage to help those in trouble, to wash the feet of the Lord's people, to serve them. That's the first area of fruit, of good work, that we're going to pray that God works in us, that we're able to do and have the resources to do it in every way that we need. It will be provided for in what we need to be able to do those works. But I think there's another work here that we can reflect on. I take it that we can include it in here, the work of speaking the gospel. Certainly later in the letter, Paul will write about making the most of every opportunity to speak of Christ. Earlier on in this chapter, in verse 6, he's spoken about the gospel bearing fruit. In other words, that fruit bearing includes people coming to faith in Christ. So let's pray that this will be a season of real fruitfulness. That we would do the good work of speaking of Christ and we would see much fruit. And let me just remind you, There are 66 million people in the United Kingdom. Many of those are now saying that they don't believe in gods. Many have some sort of loose attachment to Christianity. But I don't think it's unfair to say that only a small proportion of those are genuine believers. Maybe a couple of million churchgoers. Certainly less than 10 million genuine believers. Maybe 5, 6, 3, 4 million, who knows? 50 or 60 million people in our country who do not know Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. Let's pray that this crisis shakes people in such a way that they are willing to think again. Pray that there will be fruit here in St. Albans and across the nation. In fact, I'd invite you to set aside time to pray for fruitfulness, that we would ourselves and Christians across the land would be effective in sharing Christ. We would do the good work of speaking of Jesus, and that there would be a positive response. And at the end of all this, wouldn't it be wonderful as we began to gather again as churches to hear reports of people who are now trusting in Christ, who are engaging with the gospel. Let's pray that we would bear fruit in every good work, in the works of caring and of making Christ known. Thirdly, as we work down through the verses, let's pray that we might grow in our knowledge of God, verse 10. Bearing fruit in every good work there in verse 10, and the next thing is growing in our knowledge of God. Let's thirdly pray that we might know God better. It's important to see, isn't it, that we are not to stop growing as believers. When we come to Christ, we put our faith in him, we recognize that he is Saviour, and we are called to follow him as Lord. But then we go on growing in our knowledge of him. Paul, of course, was writing to the Colossians because they were in danger of drifting away from Christ. And he wants to say, no, grow in your knowledge of Jesus. If you know Jesus better, you will not go anywhere else. Increase, pray for increase in your knowledge of God, in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus, to see how amazing Jesus is. They need to know Jesus better. And let's pray that we grow in our knowledge of God, in our knowledge of Jesus. How might we grow in our knowledge of God? Well, I think there are a couple of things to explore here. Firstly, we may well, in the months ahead, have more time. Now, of course, for some, they're going to be extremely busy times. We know that. And not everyone's going to have more time, particularly those in the health service. But for many of us, I suspect there will be a lot more time. Let me just give you an amusing news clip. Some of you may be familiar with the Babylon Bee. It's a Christian website. It's Christian satire, and it wonderfully pokes fun at the Christian community. It pokes fun, actually, at anyone. It does it in a good-humoured way. And it's very healthy, of course, to laugh at yourself. And they have mock stories. One from today. Headline, Christian under quarantine resigns self to reading Bible. Birmingham, California, local Christian Tim Kabara has grown extremely bored with this whole coronavirus quarantine thing. He has already watched every show on Netflix, done 6,000 push-ups, and read every book on his shelf, every book except for his dusty old Bible. Kabara grew up in a conservative Christian family and goes to church every Sunday, so it only makes sense that this is the only book on his shelf that he hasn't read. He's actually quite surprised that it's still up there. Okay, fine, Kabara said to himself. Let's open this bad boy up and see what's in here. Amazed, Kabara read the good book for nearly 6 hours straight. And it goes on to amusingly describe the change that it wrought in him and the way he begins to pray. Now, they're laughing there at a Christian who's going to church, who never, ever reads his Bible. I'm sure that is not true of folk at Spicer Street. But it's making the point, isn't it? In the boredom of quarantine, even our friend there is reading the Bible. Let's take the time to study God's words, to familiarize ourselves with God's words. Maybe to read some of those Christian books that we've been promising ourselves to read, and read them prayerfully and carefully, that we might allow others to teach us and to grow in our knowledge of God through his words. So just use the time to grow in our knowledge of God's. But there's also another dimension, I think. We can reflect on the way that trials help us to grow. Holidays get cancelled. Weddings become more difficult. Jobs is insecure. Illness threatens. It forces us to ask questions. Is God really in charge? What does it mean for him to be sovereign? What does his love mean? Is he trustworthy? What are his plans for the world? Is he wise? Is the new heaven and the new earth really better than the best life here? You see, when we have things taken away, when we're threatened, it often exposes our sin, exposes our hearts, exposes our unbelief, exposes our ignorance. And that process, if we take it to the Lord and say, I want to know you better, I want to understand you better, I want to trust you more deeply, I want to know your love more fully, then our suffering can be used by the Lord to bring us into a deeper knowledge of him. So let's use the time, let's use the difficulties, and ask the Lord through all of this to help us to know him better. The fourth area for prayer is there that we might ask God to strengthen us so that we may have great endurance and patience. Ask God to strengthen us so that we may have great endurance and patience. There in verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. I know that for many the virus has not caused hardship, at least not yet. Some are enjoying the peace and quiet, some are enjoying time with the family, and that's just lovely. For many there will be real difficulty. Months of social distancing is no fun. Illness is no fun. Bereavement is always painful. And for many, in any case, without coronavirus, there were already some real trials in your life. And we're going to need God's strength. And note that power is available. Be empowered with all power according to his glorious might. His glorious might, the glorious, majestic God's, the weighty God gives us power that we might endure and be patient, that we might keep going through this difficult situation and maybe even need the patience of those difficult people. Praying here, Paul praying that God would strengthen believers. And we're to pray for each other that God would grant us that strength. There may be weeks and weeks and months of this. But what does endurance and patience look like? You see, the person who lives next door to me, they are not, maybe not a believer, and they, you might say, well, they're resilient. They will get through without the Lord. What is this Christian endurance and patience you're speaking about? And by the way, see, people often say to me, I don't know how I'd cope if I wasn't a believer. But actually, plenty of non-believers cope. Plenty of people who don't trust in Jesus cope with difficult situations. What does it mean? What does Paul mean when he says endurance and patience? It's more than, I think, just getting through each day, a kind of surviving physically and emotionally. I think the endurance and patience is keeping going in Jesus, keeping trusting in Jesus, even in the difficult situations, and keeping obeying Jesus, even when it's very, very difficult and maybe costly. Endurance and patience goes on doing the right things by Jesus, even when it is very hard. And it does so, verse 12, with joyful thanks. Endurance and patience in a difficult situation, you see, alongside joyful thanks. Joyful thanks for what? Well, for all that the triune God has done for us. God the Father has qualified us. A redemption that has been won by the Lord Jesus Christ, that no circumstance here on earth can take away from us. So we endure, we're patient, we keep going through difficulties, joyfully giving thanks, serving Jesus, living for Jesus, speaking for Jesus, trusting Jesus. And that Christ-focused endurance is empowered by God himself. I am kept going by him. So as we face the months ahead, let's commit to praying for each other. Think about how you're going to do that in your life. Maybe praying for the members, praying through the booklet that we have, praying for those who are regulars but not members, adding those in as well, praying for people in your growth group, praying for other Christians you know, committing ourselves to praying for all the saints at all times, in all ways. Let's pray. Again, let's just go through these things. Let's pray that God will enable us to be wise and live in a manner worthy of Jesus in the coronavirus season. Pray that we will bear fruit in the months ahead, in our caring and in our evangelism. Pray that we would increase in the knowledge of God, and that 4 months' time would say, yes, I know him better. And pray that we would, by his power, all endure, be patient in difficult times, trusting him, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for Jesus. We recognize that you have sent us this trial. Please use us in this trial. And use the trial in us. We ask that we would know in these months ahead how to live wisely and worthily. We ask that we will be fruitful, that we will bear fruit in every good work. We ask our Heavenly Father, we would know you better. And please, by your power, enable us to endure with great patience, strengthened by you, joyfully giving thanks to you for the great salvation. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.